Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Psalm 51, before I read the scripture, came across this last week. I thought it was quite humorous. In fact, it is. It says a Minneapolis couple decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particularly cold winter. They planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Because of the hectic or the busy schedules, it was difficult to coordinate their flight schedules. So the husband left Minneapolis and flew to Florida on Thursday, with the wife flying down the following day. The husband checked into the hotel, and there was a computer in his room, so he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address, and without realizing his error, sent the email. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister, a preacher, who was called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow decided to check her email since she was expecting messages of condolences from friends and relatives. After reading the first message, she screamed and fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room and found his mother on the floor and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife. Subject, I've arrived. Date, November 18th. I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and we are allowed to send emails to our loved ones. I just arrived here and have been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine. P.S. It sure is hot down here." Communication is of the utmost priority. And when you're preaching the Bible, I'm going to communicate some Bible now. I want it to hit home. I want you to hear every word. Remember last Sunday morning? Talked about hearing every other word your wife says, how dangerous that is. I want you to hear every word this morning. And it might be that you're with us this morning or watching live stream and you're saying, "Pastor, I am born again. I received Christ as my Savior. I sing in the choir. I teach a Sunday school class. I pray, and periodically I testify, but something's missing." You're the one I want to preach at this morning. It might be that you're born again, but something is missing. And I know what it is, and I want to preach it. And it'll boil down to one word when I get to it. So please, I want you to listen, and listen closely. Before I read the 51st Psalm, I have to apologize, second week in a row. I am a Facebook accident. I told you this a couple weeks back, got on Facebook because I wanted to check. I don't know what I'm doing, and I wanted to check and see how many viewers were viewing the live stream. So I got into it, and I don't know how to get out of it. And I've not checked it since, but I know this. As of yesterday, just this last week, it said, "You now have 74 requests to befriend me," or to friendship, or however they word that on Facebook. And I'm nobody's friend. If you're asking to be my friend on Facebook, I'm not even seeing your name. I want you to know I'm not going there. And I understand it's a tool and so, but it's just not for Pastor Rader. So if you are offended, I don't even know if you see if I don't accept you as my friend. But so what I'm telling you is I'm nobody's friend. Don't think, "Oh, the pastor's ignoring me." Don't think that. I don't know if you're thinking that. Maybe you're mad at me this morning. Let's get past that right now, all right? I'm a Facebook accident. I want you to know that. All right. Psalm 51. Let's stand together out of respect for God's word. Let me read just a little bit. We'll open in prayer. I've got a two-point message I want to preach this morning, hot and heavy. And the first point is the obvious. And the second point, it might be if you're born again, and majority of people here this morning, I know you're born again. I know who you are. You've made professions of faith. Just like was sung this morning, there was a time and a place you received Jesus as your Savior. And yet you're saying, "Man, it's just not happening. There's something missing." I got the answer. Psalm 51 says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightst be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Father, we come unto you this morning. God, we confess right along with David, we're guilty of sin. We understand that even we that are born again, we're sinners saved by grace. And we still walk in a body of sin. We still have that old nature. We know what it is, and you know our frame, and you know that we're but dust. So God, we're asking for help this morning. I, as pastor of this church, pray for every member of Fundamental Baptist Church that is born again. They've been baptized, and yet they're far from you this morning. God, would you woo them by way of the Holy Spirit, using Holy Scripture, woo them back to the Savior. Bring them home. God, for those that may be here or listening that are not born again, and they're all over the place, but they've never really understood who Jesus is and that he's Savior of every sinner that will repent of their sin. God, we pray you'd save them this morning for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Sweet Psalmist of Israel, 51st Psalm, the poet king, the warrior king, writes a psalm of repentance. And it's right where we ought to be alive and living in this 21st century in which we live. And it might be here that, it might be that you're here this morning and you're that person that says, man, I go to church. I even read my Bible. I'm not real consistent, but I read my Bible. And I have a prayer closet, and I'm maybe not real consistent, but I serve God in different ministries, but there's something missing. And I'm telling you, I'm up in front of you knowing that I'm just like you are. I understand we're made of the same stuff. I have feet of clay. I know what is missing in your life. I know what is causing the inconsistencies that bring guilt down upon your life and upon your soul. Because you are born again, and the Holy Spirit does live within you, and you willfully go off into sin, and I know what is going on, and I'm going to help you in just a moment. But I want to start this message, this two-point message, by saying this. First of all, salvation is a heart thing. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. To get born again, it needs to be a heart thing. You say, preacher, what do you mean by a heart thing? There's got to be repentance. And let me qualify it by saying this. Repentance is not a work. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, he has saved us. The Bible tells us that. Repentance isn't something that you work up. Here's what repentance is. I'll put it in a way that I'm able to understand it. It's a heart thing. Synonyms for repentance. Close synonyms. Sincere regret. Remorse over sin. Shame. Penitential attitude. It is a radical turning of the heart. It is not casual Christianity. America is plagued with powerless, casual Christianity. Oh, I came across this quote. I put it in a flyleaf of my Bible. William Booth said this in the late 1800s. What does it apply today? Founder of the then Salvation Army. He said, the chief danger that confronts the coming century will be a religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, heaven without hell. Man, that was a prophet. That's casual Christianity. You say, are you saying getting saved is hard? No, no. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise of God. But it can't be just repeating some words. You can repeat words and mean it with your heart. That's salvation. Just like that old time religion. 3 weeks ago I preached on that now. It isn't the do's and don'ts. It's far deeper than the do's and the don'ts. The old time religion is being so in love with Jesus that the do's and the don'ts are superseded. Yeah, I don't even need those. That's a foundation, and there may be truths, but I'm above that because I want to get so close to Jesus, I will do nothing to darken his smile. That's a hard thing. Salvation, that's a hard thing. Take your Bibles before we read anything here and turn to Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians and chapter 2. If you miss out on salvation, you are I'll use language I know young people can understand. A spiritual zombie. You are a walking dead man. You have no purpose. Your chance at life is slipping away. You have a body that you feed and you clothe and you pleasure, but you have no real relationship with God. You are spiritually dead as Adam was before sacrifices were made. You need to be quickened. And the old English word for made alive is quickened. Listen what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Ephesus. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. If that's true in Paul's day, it's even more true today. That spirit of disobedience. He said, that's the way you used to live before you were quickened. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ, made us alive. For by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then that classic verse, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation. If there's something missing in your life, you've never been born again. Jesus is what is missing. You need Christ as your Savior. And that's more than just a mental assent where, oh, I know that Jesus is the Savior of the world and that he died on the cross for sinners. There's got to be a time and a place where you repent, where there's regret, where there's remorse. I know I'm a sinner. Man, I don't want to go to hell. Jesus, would you come into my heart and be my Savior? Time and a place. Again, it's a hard thing. Salvation's a hard thing. Go back to the 51st Psalm. 51st Psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God. David wrote this after his sin with Bathsheba. As a matter of fact, it's been 18 months, and he's been out of fellowship with God. You repent one time. That's a hard thing. It's real. And you get born again. You only need to be born again one time. Jesus said you must be born again, but he didn't say you got to be born again and again and again and again. You're not understanding Scripture if you don't understand that salvation is a one-time thing. I repent of my sin. I come as a sinner. My name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life because I asked Jesus to forgive me and to come into my heart and be my Savior. And salvation is real, and he's a forever Savior, and I've got a home in heaven, and I'm so looking forward to that. But now here's David. He sinned with Bathsheba, this man after God's own heart. For 18 months, he's been distant from God. It's like God is his God. He knows Jehovah is his God. Jesus is his Savior, but it's like it's a million light years away, just kind of like it's just out of touch. He's in the land of forgetfulness of God. He prays to God and nothing happens. His word just kind of bounce off the ceiling. It's like the skies have turned to iron. He doesn't walk with God. For 18 months, he wet his pillow with his tears. This was a man who wanted fellowship with God. And he says, mercy. God, have mercy upon me. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. A lot of Old Testament words here that are wonderful words. He said, take my sins away. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You understand what David's praying here? He's repenting. He's asking God for forgiveness. Now, you get born again. That's a one-time thing. You say, preacher, I am born again. Something's missing. Pastor, I do read my Bible, but something's missing. Pastor, I do testify from time. I teach Sunday school. I sing in the choir. Something's missing. I know what it is. The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 28 and verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. I know what it is. I know what is missing, and David found it. It's found in a word, repentance. You see, our sins separate us from God. You don't lose your salvation. But here's what happens all too often. A man or a woman, they're confronted with the gospel. They repent of their sin. They ask Jesus to come into their heart. They're born of the Spirit of God. It's a brand new life. But the problem is, they're not yet in heaven. They still have the old body. That flesh, we still carry it around with us. Still, now we got the new nature, but we got the old nature as well. And they go ahead and they kind of get into involved in a little bit of sin. But they know they're saved. They know they're on the way to heaven. Another week goes by. Another month goes by. There's more sin in their lives. But they know they're saved. They know they're on their way to heaven. And so what they do is they kind of ignore the sin that is going on in their lives. Literally, it's like they sweep it under the rug just to kind of get it out of sight. Out of sight, out of mind. But God still knows it's there. And every time they sin, and they're not keeping short accounts with God, there's no repenting going on. There's no walk with God. And they get a little further from their Savior, and a little further from the Savior. Pretty soon it's really easy to be like the world. And they get to the place where they know they're loved by God, and they love God from a distance, at arm's reach, but they're not, there's nothing going on there. There's something missing. And it might be that you used to be close to God. You teach a Sunday school. You sing in the choir. You witness from time to time. But there's no real relationship. I know what's missing. And David found it here in the Word of God. And he recorded it for us. Repentance. We're to flesh out the word repentance in our lives. I'm to live every day confessing my sins. Now you know what? If I know I don't confess my sin as a child of God after I get born again, unconfessed sin won't send me to hell, but it will break fellowship with my Father. Amen. I get away from God. I start listening to the counsel of the world. Amen. David experienced that. He went through all those things of the flesh. You understand that when he fell into the sin with Bathsheba. So he finally gets to the place where he can't take it anymore. And he got past the come as you are, leave as you were, casual kind of Christianity that we experience today. And he got serious with God. And he says here in verse 3, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. I've done wrong. That's what David said. I have sinned. Three of the hardest words there are to pronounce. For a mature child of God, for someone that really, you know, you got saved, you were growing in the Lord for a while, and you learned all the lingo, and you know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. It's really, because of pride, it is hard to say those three words to God. When's the last time in your prayer life you said to Jesus, I have sinned? You beat around the bush. You go in every direction, but you don't repent of your sin. God bless me. God bless mine. God bless. But you never say, I have sinned. And you can't tell me you have not sinned. Amen. Whosoever covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that has no says he has no sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Let's read on what David says here. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. He says, man, I know it. I'm a sinner. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. That's called federal headship, theologically. Because Adam's a sinner, I'm born a sinner. Because Adam fell, I'm part of a broken people. A broken, fallen race. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. That's what God wants. a hard thing. Jesus said, with their lips they speak of me, but in their hearts they're far from me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. God can make it right again. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. After getting born again, you're still alive, you're still here on this earth, you're part of the church of Jesus Christ. I mean, you're still a sinner. You're a sinner saved by grace, but you're still a sinner. There still needs to be a repentance going on in your life. You need to flesh out this word repentance. You and I need to walk with God so close that when we fall into sin, we confess that sin right away. You say, again, what is repentance? Is it just confession? It's remorse. It's regret. It's not like you got to have tears. It's not like you got to work something up. That's not it at all. But you want to please your Father. And you know you've done wrong. David cries out to God to make it like it used to be. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He desired God. Now I got good news for you. We are New Testament Christians. God the Son came and died on the cross. That was future in David's life, but it's already taken place. And then he conquered the grave and he ascended on up into heaven after his crucifixion, after he bled out, after he made blood atonement. He went to the grave and then he rose from the dead and he's at the right hand of the throne of God. And he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who energized the church, who birthed the church. And that Comforter has come and he's here for us today. And we don't have to pray, take not thy spirit from me. That wouldn't even be a theologically correct prayer for a New Testament Christian, because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But David, he was a man after God's own heart, and he wanted God to use him so much, and this is his cry. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors my ways, or thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We have one hope, and that's the mercy of God. So repent. God has one desire, that it would be a hard thing. Salvation, and then a walk with God. God is repulsed by hypocrisy. Everywhere you find that in the Word of God, that's what you find. God is repulsed. He rejects. It's not good. That's why we need to repent. We do have one Savior. We have one responsibility. That's to tell others of Christ. Verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. I guess so. David was guilty of three capital crimes. Let's go back and think on David for just a moment. David, King David, is crying out to God, repenting of his sin, asking for forgiveness. Because according to the Old Testament law, he was worthy of death. He should have died. Three capital crimes. He was a dead man, but for the mercies of God. He recognized that. He was so in love with God. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt despise. God wants your heart. God wants my heart. It's not enough to go to a good church. It's not enough to carry your Bible to church. It's not enough to dress right. It's not enough to talk right. It's not enough to know the lingo. It's not enough to, you know, to be faithful to the services. God wants your heart. He wants you. He wants who you really are, a broken and a contrite spirit. That's what God desires. Unless God got your heart, if it wasn't a heart salvation, if it wasn't, then it wasn't a born-again experience. And it's not a work, not saying that, but there was remorse. There was regret. You didn't want to go to hell. You understood you were a sinner. You asked Jesus to save you, and he saved you. That is being born again. And then you flesh out this word repentance in your life every day of your Christian life, because we all sin. We're all sinners, and it's the mercy of God that's upon us and the grace of God that is so good to us. And so I sin during the day, and I walk with God. I'm so close to God that I recognize my sin and I confess it. I repent of it right away, because my Bible tells me if I cover my sin, we're proud people. If I cover my sin, I will not prosper. God has blessed Tim Rader, and Tim Rader is nothing special. God has blessed Tim Rader, and man, he just don't have a whole lot of talent. God has blessed Tim Rader, and I'm limited with my IQ. God has blessed me, and blessed me, and blessed me. Because with all of my flaws, I'm real with God. That keeps me close to him. By the way, I want to introduce you to my best friend. His name is Jesus. And he's the best friend I've ever had. And were not for him, my life would be a train wreck. It'd be all over. But God saves and he forgives. And I'm so thankful for my Savior. And if you're here today, you can know this same Jesus. 51st Psalm is David's heart. Open book. Repent. That's the word. Repent. Remorse. A sense of regret. Shame. How many can sin and there's no shame? You're far from God if you're born again. Psalm 103. Would you turn there in closing? Psalm 103. It's an abundant life if you'll surrender to God. It's a life of purpose. I want to end my life when the trumpet sounds or I breathe my last breath with no regrets. Man, it's not like I couldn't have done things better, but I mean, I just know I was all in for God. I stumbled. I failed. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I kept coming back. I kept praying, God, make it like it used to be. God, make it right again. Here I am again, Lord. It's me again. I know you're tired of hearing this, but he's not. Look what it says in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He'll not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. And he remembereth that we are dust. Amen. All I got to do is come and say, I'm sorry. Amen. All I got to do is walk with God. A heart thing. I wonder how many came to church this morning because other people were expecting you here and that was your motive. That's not a heart thing. I wonder how many of you came to church this morning because you had to. That's not a heart thing. And I wonder how many came because they are so in love with God. You couldn't keep them away with wild horses. There's just no way.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.